My friends, we have arrived. We are here in this new year. We have crossed the boundary of linear time into the next year with all of its resolutions and plans and schedules ahead of us. But we pause here today in worship for just a moment before we move boldly onward. Welcome everyone here to this hour of worship. You are welcome and needed here, regardless of your tenure in the church. You are welcome to be who you are, to love who you love. You are welcome whatever your age, your ability. You are welcome whatever economic status you have or gender identification, no matter what mistakes you have made or what triumphs you have celebrated. Let us bring ourselves fully to worship today in this new year together, just as we are. Let us transform in the love that crosses all boundaries. First thing we do together in the new year, hymn 368, Around, What Could Be Better? Get up after a night of grief and despair weary and bruised to the bone, and do what needs to be done for the children. It doesn't interest me who you know or how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stand in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. It doesn't interest me where or what or with whom you have studied. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else falls away. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments. I'm reminded that I have learned so much about resiliency by having the crazy audacity to be giving sermons for 30 years. I do appreciate getting feedback from members of the congregation, although I sometimes wonder about some people's motivations. But one time, not here, someone sent me in the mail a list of suggestions if you're experiencing boredom during the sermon. See if yawning is contagious. Slap your neighbor and see if they turn the other cheek. If not, raise your hand and tell the minister. Pass a note to the organist asking whether she plays requests. Listen for your preacher to use a word beginning with A, and then B, and so on through the entire alphabet. You may get stuck on Q and X, though. Sit in the back row and roll a handful of marbles under the pews ahead of you. Try to raise one eyebrow. Think about your chin for an entire minute. And so the list goes. I jest, of course. What I've learned about resiliency in my somewhat long life now is what you have learned in your lives by going through trials and passing through them in the ways that you are able to do so. And if you are very fortunate, making new meaning out of those trials. These are words from an old gospel song, how I got over, my soul looks back and wonders how I got over. Nobody said that life was easy, although I remember the moment in my young adulthood when I felt I'd been hoodwinked. Nobody had told me how hard life really was. In any one life, time and again, we are challenged and must navigate through difficult times. How we get over, whether we get over, as the old gospel says, has to do with many factors. Perhaps one of the most important factors is that of resilience. So I'm going to say some words about resilience from a biological, psychological, spiritual, and societal dimensions. The first thing to say about resilience is that it is natural to life. An article reporting on the aftermath of a huge forest fire in Montana was titled, this was 2 years after the fire. I remember it well because my mother lived in that area at the time. It was written in 2002, 2 years after the fire. And the author writes, during the past 2 summers, while fires have raged in other parts of the country, these seemingly dead forests in Montana have had a chance to burst back to life. The article goes on to describe the amazing plants and flowers that bloom after a fire. Of course, regrowth happens because seeds from other areas come and land in the soil, richer now for the ash in it. But there was an even more interesting part of that article. There are seeds in forest soil that will not germinate until they have reached a certain high temperature. And then after that have to take in moisture and go through a cold cycle before they will burst forth in bloom. There are actually seeds hundreds of years old in forest soil, just waiting for the next fire to happen. Out of what we might name a disaster can come new life. This repair, this regrowth, this resilience we see over and over again in nature. In our own bodies, we see that we can recover after a great illness and that wounds heal. And any woman who's given birth can relate to the definition in physics of resilience as the capacity of a strained body to recover its size and shape after a compressive stretch. So then, from a purely biological level, there is a natural resilience in life forms, even as life is mortal as well. The unending resilience is not found in any one life form, but in the system of life moving forward. Are there seeds in us waiting for the fire of trials? This leads to the second place that resiliency is found in human beings. Psychology is teaching us. Actually, resiliency has become somewhat of a pop psychology buzzword these days, I read. Lots of books being published about resiliency and curriculums to teach children resiliency. As the words to the gospel reveal, though, we've been aware of resiliency in humans long before there were studies to prove that part of our psychology can be the ability to bounce back, to learn from whatever hardship befalls us. I tried to find some of these in toy stores in the last few weeks, but think of those play school toys, Weeble Wobbles. Do you remember them? They were round little people with a low center of gravity so that they would kind of wobble and you could hit them, but they'd go back upright. Low center of gravity, a weightedness inside of them that kept them upright, even though whatever blow might have them wobbling. Turns out that we have inherent tendencies toward being resilient and that resiliency skills can be taught and learned. I do have a critique of this theory of resiliency, which I will name toward the end of